we started way back when, Genesis 1, and the first three chapters of Genesis, which deals with the creation account, I tried to give you a lot of different reasons to believe in the creation account as a literal six-day creation, literally about 6,000 years ago. And I've covered everything from the furthest stars out in space to down to the tiniest things such as the human cell and the intricacies that are involved inside the human cell and how there are machines, multiple machines in every cell of our trillions of cells of our body that are doing work and you don't even know it. And the creativity of God the Father in all everything in between here, to me, is much more obvious that there is a creator than the approach that the evolutionists give us. Their approach, of course, is the earth is not a young earth. It's a very old earth. It's millions and millions of years old. In fact, our universe is in the billions of years old, they say. And they don't seem to have an explanation for how everything came to be, how we are here now in a physical building, sitting on pews and breathing and thinking and all these types of things. And they say it all started from nothing. They say nothing turned into something, and then something came alive, and somehow or another this something started out as some kind of single cell organism that slithered out of some pond somewhere and somehow or another was able to duplicate itself. And over a period of time, it turned into a fish. And then over another longer period of time, it turned into an amphibian. And then over a longer period of time, it turned into a reptile. That would be the dinosaurs. And then over a longer period of time, it would turn into mammals, which in turn would turn into us. Now, that's what they believe. So I wanted to use an object lesson to try to give you one more picture of why there is much greater evidence for a creator than there is for evolution, because I want you to feel confident and comfortable in it. And what I'm going to use as my object lesson is an egg. Now, this is just a regular egg. I boiled it just in case that went all the way to the floor. But you don't think much of, or I didn't think much of an egg. It's just a simple thing. And I mean, we use it as a source of food. But in addition to that, it's also the way that chickens reproduce, of course. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that, about how this egg, this something this simple, is a picture of or proof, I should say, of a creator, as opposed to the evolutionary approach we're given by people. Because think about it. First of all, you have to ask the question, which came first, the chicken or the egg? I mean, we ask that question almost rhetorically about a bunch of different things, but really, which came first? Well, we know because the Bible tells us that the chicken came first. It came on day five of the creation. On day five of creation, the Bible says God created the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. So that would include a chicken. So our answer is the chicken came first. What is the answer of someone who is an ardent believer of evolution? I don't think he has an answer. Because again, you remember that thing that slithered out of the water and started separating cells and duplicating itself? At some point in time, there had to be a transition between a cell splitting up and then a cell reproducing by mating between a male and a female. How did that happen? What was that transition? When did that occur? They don't have an answer for that. But the egg is the current way, at least, that chickens reproduce. So I wanted to talk to you a little bit about the design of the egg, because it's fascinating to me. I got an article, which I brought with me too, that I read in the Creation magazine that I've subscribed to, and it's really interesting, and it goes through it. when a chicken lays a fertilized egg, those of you who deal with chickens would know that it takes about 21 days for this egg to hatch into a chicken. And during that 21 days, a lot of things happen inside that egg. The first thing that I want to talk about is the eggshell itself. It is remarkable because there is a substance in this eggshell. It is called osteopontin, and it's a mineral. And it's very similar to what we would think of as calcium. So I'm just going to call it calcium because it's easier to say and think about. But in this eggshell, there's a lot of calcium. Now the calcium, if I were to peel off a piece of this eggshell and hold it up sideways so you saw it through the thickness of the eggshell, there are different levels of osteopontin or calcium on the outside of the eggshell than there are on the inside of the eggshell. Now, why is that significant? Well, that's the thing that makes the egg hard, this calcium. So on the outside of it, it's harder than on the inside of the shell itself. Okay, I don't know if you follow me. I'm not talking about the egg part, just the shell. It's not like a piece of chalk, which is constant throughout the chalk. It's more like an apple pie, where you have crust on the bottom that's hard, and then it gets softer as it goes up. So that's the first thing about it. Now, these are very heavy, you think of an egg as fragile, but it's really pretty strong. In fact, when I was a kid, I was told that if you put an egg between your hands like this and cross your fingers and you press as hard as you can, you can't break the egg. Did anybody else ever hear that? I'm gonna let you try that when you get home. And I have tried it. I remember trying it, pushing as hard as I could. Now, of course, if you angle it the wrong way at all, it's going to crush. But if you keep it totally that way, the egg is very, very strong. I would recommend that you do it over a frying pan just in case you have an angle it. But I have tried with all my might and haven't been able to break it doing that. It shows the strength of the egg. Now, why would it be important that the outside of the shell be harder than the inside of the shell? Well, there's two reasons. Before I get to them, I forgot to tell you one thing. This looks like it's pretty solid, but in reality, if you looked at this with a microscope, over this entire egg, you would find 7,000 pores that allow air to go inside the egg and to allow moisture. You think this is watertight, it's not. Air and moisture can constantly get inside this egg through these 7,000 little pores. If you looked at it close enough with a microscope, you'd see the pores. Why is that important? Because the chicken side is alive, and he needs air to breathe, right? So he gets his air through the eggshell. He also gets his moisture. He needs moisture to survive. Try putting a plant in the house without watering it for about a month and see what happens to it. Same thing with all living things. This little chick needs moisture. So he gets his moisture and he gets his air through this eggshell, even though it's very, very hard. And talking now about the reason that the outside is harder than the inside, it's really for two reasons. One, the chick inside has to also not only breathe, he has to develop. And he develops bones. Chickens have bones. Where does he get the calcium for these bones? He gets it from the shell itself. You see, the inside of the shell is softer, and it dissolves easier. And as the chick grows, this inside of the shell starts dissolving, and he uses that calcium and those nutrients to form his bones. Without that, without a dissolvable shell, the chicken wouldn't develop any bones. Also, as it gets dissolved little by little, the shell gets thinner and thinner, much like we talk about osteoporosis. You know what that is? The shell becomes like osteoporosis. It becomes exceedingly thin. And on day 21, it's so thin that the chick actually is able to break through the shell. Why? Because it has gotten thin. So he has used the calcium on the inside of this soft egg to not only grow his bones, but he also, it becomes weak enough that he can peck through it. Which takes us to the development of the chick. I said they hatch in 21 days. On day 6, the chicken grows on his beak a little tooth. You've heard of something being as rare as hen's teeth? They actually do have teeth. But it's on the outside, not on the inside. They have one little tooth. And you can look up pictures and see them. But on day 6, this little tooth appears. And then when it gets to day 18, a couple of unique things happen on this development of the chicken. Number one, he's big enough now, he's requiring more oxygen than he needed when he was much younger. There's not enough holes in this egg to provide the oxygen for the chicken, the chick, on day 18. And if that were all there was to the egg, he would suffocate. But God did an unusual thing with the egg. He put a little air pocket inside the egg. And it's on the flat side of the egg. And anytime you boil an egg and you peel it, you see that flat spot on the bottom of an egg? That was the air pocket. And what happens is this little chick on day 18, he takes a little tooth on the top of his nose and he pierces that membrane to get access to that little pocket of air. There's a 3-day supply of air in that little pocket for that chick. So now he can make it 3 more days. And another thing happens on day 18 with the chicken. He has a certain muscle in the back of his neck. And that muscle automatically starts spasming. Can't control it. His little head starts doing this. All right? And he's facing upwards where this air pocket is. And he's looking up here, and his little neck starts spasming. And he starts pecking at the top of this egg, this thin egg. And he pecks in a semicircle. And he starts making a little circle. And he pecks and pecks and pecks and pecks until his little neck is exhausted. And he stops. And he'll take a couple hours break. And without any control on his part, all of a sudden that neck gets rested and it starts spasming again. And here he goes again, pecking again in a semicircle. Valerie's just laughing at this. The semicircle. For 3 days, he pecks a circle in the top of this egg in the hole that was the air pocket, with the oxygen supply that he has left. And at the end of the 21st day, he cracks through and he makes it. Hallelujah. He's got air. And then he can, of course, then the shell breaks apart very easily and out comes a little chick. I bet you didn't know all that was going on inside of an egg during that 21-day period of time. What? Yes? Yeah, I'm sure there would be. Here's another interesting thing. Now, I don't know this for a fact, but I've heard this, and some of you may be able to verify this for me. I have been told that when a chicken is laying eggs, fertilized eggs, that she'll lay maybe 10, 12, 15 or so, and then when they're all laid, she'll sit on the eggs, and they'll still all hatch on the same day. Is that, have you heard that too, Alice? You're shaking your head. Yeah. But think about it. What keeps the eggs that were laid 10, 12 days earlier, only lay one egg a day, how do they all hatch at the same time? What happened during that period of time? It's a mystery. Somebody said something. She's not sitting on them, but how do they stay alive? Right, okay. Well, anyway, that's fascinating that the egg laid on day 1 hatches at the same time as the egg laid on day 12 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, I've told you before, I'm interested in chickens. Charlie put a big old chicken in my front yard. But one of these days, I'm going to learn more about chickens. But anyway, the question is, how does this point to a creator God, as opposed to evolution? Let's look at evolution first. Let's skip past the step that goes from a single cell separating all the way up to chickens reproducing by sex with roosters, okay? Let's leave that aside. I don't know how that happened, but we'll give them that. And they're already in the position of starting to reproduce by laying eggs. The evolutionists would have to look at this. here's an egg that somehow or another has to develop in such a way that it's hard on the outside of the shell and soft on the inside of the shell. At the same time, this egg has to have an air pocket. Without an air pocket, the chicken doesn't survive past day 18. At the same time, the chick has to develop a little tiny tooth on the top of his beak. Without the little tiny tooth, he can't break the membrane, get to the oxygen, and then break the shell and get out of it. How do all these things, how could they possibly happen over a long period of time with just one of these events happening at a time? For instance, the thickness of the shell, the softness of the inside versus the outside. And then maybe later on, the tooth on the chick's beak. And then maybe later on, the air pocket develops in the egg. Don't all these things have to happen at one time? And don't they have to happen on day one? The very first egg that's laid, doesn't it have to happen, or the chicken doesn't reproduce? Am I correct? That, to me, is a picture of not only creation, but also very intelligent, creative creation. And the evolutionists don't have an answer for any of this. You cannot develop this egg, the way I've described it, over a long period of time by one little step followed by another little step, which is what Darwin said. He said, if you can prove to me, he said in his book, that the egg, he didn't use egg, but we'll use it, that the egg cannot come about without one steady successive step after another, and he said that my theory has no weight. He admitted it. Now, they don't talk about that too much today. But he admitted that. The egg is a picture of a big word, two words actually, that I've mentioned before, irreducible complexity. And in a language that we would use, it just means it has to happen all at once. It cannot, it's so complex that you cannot break it down into step by step. It has to develop on day one. And that, to me, is a picture of creativity, a picture of God the Creator. You don't even have to believe in Christianity, but you have to look at that and say, there is intelligent design in that egg. That is not random. There's too many steps that have to happen for this to be evolve over time. It is that. I say this because I want you to be confident in the creative account. I want you to be confident in a young earth, not millions of years. There's no reason to have millions of years for this to take, because it wouldn't work over millions of years. It could happen on one day. In fact, it did happen on one day, day five of the creation. So I want you to be confident about that. I don't want you to be misled by evolution theories, because they just plain don't make sense. It takes a whole lot more faith to think that this could happen over a long, long period of time than just to say that God created the chicken and he created the egg, and he designed it in such a way as that the chicken would reproduce properly. So, since we're closing down Genesis, I wanted to go back and remind you of one more thing about the Genesis account and the account of the creation, because I want you to be confident in your beliefs in the Bible as a literal, historical record of what really happened. And if you don't want to believe me, believe Jesus, because Jesus made reference to the historical accuracy of Genesis and the creation account. Every time we go to a wedding, we hear about it. Jesus said, in the beginning, God created male and female, and he created them to be married together. That's what Jesus said. He didn't say it was a fish first, and he didn't say it was an amphibian and then a reptile and then a bird and then a mammal. He said, in the beginning, God created man and woman, and they're the ones that named the animals. So, just wanted you to be confident with it. I've gone over a little bit. Thank you for your patience. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for showing us through something as simple as an egg that you are, in fact, a designer and that you thought of everything ahead of time. You provided for that helpless little chick to have food, to have moisture, to have air, and to have ability to escape at the proper time. It was ingenious of you. And we marvel at your creativity, not just with the egg, but with things much, much more complicated than that, such as our creation of humans and our brains and our eyes and our ears and all the intelligence that went into that too, Lord. So we just praise you for it. We take this time to thank you for being so smart and being so creative and giving us these little glimpses. Now that we have microscopes and we can see things much deeper and closer, that we can see that what we at one time had to accept by faith, we can now actually see by sight. We can see your creativity. And we thank you for it. Help us to be bold in our witness to others. Because there's a dark world out there that needs to see the light and needs to believe in you and needs to see that you are the answer to everything. So we thank you for this time. We thank you for our time of gathering together today and just learning a little bit more about the creation account. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.